بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Respected and honorable elders and brothers, on this night preceding the 10th of Muharram, for many years we discussed different topics with regards to the day of Ashura. And there is one thing for sure that had been emphasized all the time, that Ashura's significance is not derived by the unfortunate incident of Karbala and the unfortunate beheading of the grandson of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That happened some 5 decades after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left this world. Ashura's significance is related more to the incidents that had taken place before the advent of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll discuss that a little later. One important aspect that you and I need to understand, that from time to time, because of our lack of knowledge, our lack of understanding, people begin to take advantage over us insofar as our core aqidah is concerned, our belief system is concerned. The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we have the greatest regard for each and every sahabi of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if a sahabi had seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam but once in his life in the state of iman, we have the highest regard for that individual. When we look at 2 parts of the sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one will be the Ahle Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then those sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who are not the Ahle Bayt. Now in order to give reverence, to accord status and virtue to one person, it doesn't mean we need to discredit somebody else. To say that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the most virtuous of all the human beings after the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, the greatest amongst the Sahaba is Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it doesn't mean that we have to discredit, for example, Sayyidina Umar or Sayyidina Uthman or Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. They were all great personalities. Now when we look at the belief system of the Shias, then we will find that in order to give reverence to the Ahle Bayt, they begin to discredit the whole host of Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that becomes very confusing to you and I. So on the one hand, each and every Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been accorded virtue by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran some of the virtues of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. And then again, separately, the Ahlul Bayt, the household, the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also hold a very special honor, status in the eyes of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. When we look at the Ahlul Bayt, we will not just accord them dignity and honor purely and only because they're the Ahle Bayt. But together with being the Ahle Bayt, they had the honor of being in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those sahaba that lived in his life. And together with that, they were people of virtue. They were people of piety. They were people who had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Today I just want to look at a few aspects with regards to the life of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, more especially the virtue of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and more so how the Sahaba had viewed Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is made to seem that there was a discrepancy, it was made to seem that there was disunity, it was made to seem that there was opposition between the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rest of the Sahaba, and that is not true. At the very beginning, we will find a hadith of Ummul Fadl radiallahu ta'ala anha. She approaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and she says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I've seen a very disturbing dream. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, relate that dream. And she begins to relate this dream and she says that I saw a piece of your flesh, Ya Rasulullah, fall onto my lap. And this scared her a little bit. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ummul Fadl, that is not a bad dream. That is a very virtuous dream. So she was shocked. And she asked, how is that possible, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? As a matter of fact, Ummul Fadl was the mother of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, the wife of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, my Fatima will soon give birth to a son. And then that son will be in your lap. And exactly as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had predicted and interpreted this dream, that after Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha had given birth to Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then Allah had given the lap of this woman, Ummul Fadl, that great virtue of then looking after this child and of course suckling this child. Now when we look at this hadith, and then we look at another hadith of Ya'la ibn Murra radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, once we were invited to a meal and we were walking with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And whilst we walked, we saw Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, still a child, playing on the street. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stretched his hands out in anticipation that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu would run towards him. But then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to move to his right and to his left. In other words, now wanting Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu to run in different directions, like how grandparents or parents would play with children. And in that way, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu then clinged on to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam held him and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Husaynu minni wa ana minhu. Hussein is part of me and I am part of Hussein. Now if you look at this hadith, it is not just Hussein is part of me and I am part of him by way of our family ties. But it means a closeness. فَمَنْ شَرِبَ مِنْهُ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَمَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي إِلَّا مَنِ اغْتَرَفَ غُرْفَةً بِيَدِي. Allah Ta'ala uses the same expression in the Quran to show that we are one fraternity, one maqsad, one goal, one object. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَحَبَّ Al-Hasan wal-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love that person that loves Hasan and Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. So that dream of Ummul Fadl actually was an interpretation of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are part of each other. That you saw that flesh from me come onto your lap would mean that from my flesh, from my blood, this child will be born, and of course not only him, but both the brothers Hassan and Hussein, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Now when we look at the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the honor that they accorded, not only to Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, but the honor that they had accorded to the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was of a different magnitude. May Allah ta'ala grant us that love for all the Sahaba and for all the Ahl Bayt. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us that love for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his khilafat, he is sitting and discussing with Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then he says to Ali, O Ali, the love that I have for the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam far supersedes the love that I have for my own family. Who is there that can interpret this or misconstrue this to mean any form of hatred whatsoever? Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, On the day when Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had accepted the deen of Islam, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu made similar statements, and they said, Abbas, we are happier today on the fact that you accepted Islam than our own fathers. Because on the happiness of Abbas's Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had expressed joy and elation. So our happiness lies in the happiness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, with regards to Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it had been recorded on numerous occasions that Sayyidina Abbas is the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when they would see him on the street riding, and if they were on a conveyance, or if they would see him walking and they were on a conveyance, then they would dismount out of respect for the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the Ahl-e Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the extent we find that in the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu conquers Hira, and he sends the wealth of Hira to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In it there is much, but out of it there was a very special shawl, very expensive, one shawl. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as the Khalifa, has the right to give the shawl to whomsoever he desired. Who is that worthy person of the most expensive shawl, the most expensive item in that was sent over here? He says, there is none other than Hussein, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at that love that they had for the grandson, for the Ahl-e Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming into the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu receives wealth, the goods from Yemen. The governor of Yemen has heaps of wealth, heaps of goods that is delivered to Madinah Tayyibah. Amongst it were many sets of clothing. And he goes through this clothing and he looks at it and he says, none of it suits the two grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He distributes it amongst the people and then he writes a letter to the governor of Yemen that I want you to sew, to have two pairs of garments sewn particularly for the two grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something that will suit their status, befit their shan. And when that comes, and these two, Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhum, adorn it and they wear it, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sees it, he said, now I am satisfied. Now I am satisfied. Once Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu meets up with Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he says to him, I desire that you come to visit me. Come to me so that I can benefit from you. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, a few days later, Amirul Mu'mineen asked me, why did I not visit him? So I take the trouble of explaining to him the experience that I had. And I said to him, Amirul Mu'mineen, I had actually come. And when I had come, I had noticed that you were talking very privately to Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I judged it was a private conversation, and together with that, your son, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had also come just before me. He saw this private conversation and he went away. So I thought it is most befitting for me to also walk away, so I walked away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, oh Hussein, you have a greater right to visit me than my own son. Look at that love Sahaba had for the Ahlul Bayt and the grandchildren of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a well-known fact that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha had passed on, he had made nikah, and from one of his nikahs, he had a daughter by the name of Umm Kulthum. And we all should know, or ought to know, that he had given Umm Kulthum into the marriage and nikah of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So who is there that could say that there was animosity between the Ahlul Bayt and any of the other Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? But that's a different discussion. The point that I want to show is that Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu would go to the house of Kulthum, in other words, the house of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and visit her so often. And there was this cordial relationship and welcome from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu for Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. When we look specifically at Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know that Sayyidina Hassan, after the demise of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was the rightful Khalifa, and then he reconciled with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And after the reconciliation, Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to visit Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu ever so often. And Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu would, in exchange of the visit, give them gifts which they would accept. The regard that Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had for Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was of such a nature that once from Damascus, he sends a messenger to Madinah Tayyibah. He was a Qurayshi. And he said to this Qurayshi person, after discussing the nature of his work, amongst the things that he said to him, that you will enter Masjidun Nabawi. And at this particular spot of Masjidun Nabawi, you will see a very blessed personality sitting and teaching Quran and Hadith. And the people around him and this gathering will be so blessed with sukoon, with tranquility, that it is unimagined. And this personality, when you look at him, you will find that he wears his lower garment up to half of his calf. And that is none other than Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at the description that Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu describes Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. No one can ever have any misgivings of the fact that there was discord between the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Ahle Bayt, or for that matter, the grandsons of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just one more incident with regards to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once after a janaza, he walks and Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu walks in his company. For some reason, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu sits down because of tiredness. What do we think Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu does? He takes out his shawl and he begins to wipe the feet of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is amazed that a person senior in age doing this. So he asked him, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, why do you take the trouble of doing this? The response from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is amazing. He said, if only people know your worth, O Hussein, they will not let you walk on the ground. Your feet will not touch the ground of the earth. They will carry you on their shoulders. That is the regard that I have for you. Further to this incident, somebody orders two rides, two camels or two horses. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, now he was a leading scholar amongst the Sahaba. He was known as Ra'isul Mufassirin, Bahrul Ulum, Ocean of Knowledge, Hibrul Ummah, the sage of this Ummah. He takes the trouble then to mount Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu on one, and then he mounts Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the other. And when somebody inquired, for your age, seniority, you doing this for such young people, he said, it is my honor that they allowed me to do this. It is my honor that they allowed me to do this. So brothers and friends, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had accorded them great status. Allah had given them the honor in the eyes of the Sahaba. There was no single Sahabi. There was no single Sahabi that had any misgivings about the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I cannot help but just give you one more example of a person. Fatima bin Hassan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's son Hassan, and then his daughter Fatima. Once she comes to the Khalifa of the time, not the Khalifa of the time, but rather the Amir of Medina. At that time, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, before he became Khalifa of the Ummat, or before he came the Sultan of the Ummat, he was the governor of Medina. And when she comes and he notices, and he is given the message that she is coming, he clears his entire room. That the great granddaughter of my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming. There is nothing that befits that she occupies my room. That is how they had that accord and that great honor in their hearts for the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So brothers and friends, if anyone wants us to believe that there was discord between the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt, be 100% sure that that is a fabrication, it's a lie. And they use these occasions of Karbala, they use these occasions on the day of Ashura to try and express those things. But those are nothing but fabrications. The kind of muhabbat, ruhama'u bainahum, that Allah Ta'ala speaks about in the Quran, existed in the heart of each and every sahabi, for each and every one of the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafat. He is going for Umrah. And who joins him? Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Ali's brother Jafar, his son Abdullah. And as they go on this journey at a place called Suqya, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu becomes ill. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu insisted, I will not go one step further, but I will see to you. I will look after you. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu in that illness is saying to him, Amirul Mu'mineen, you cannot but look at one person at the detriment of the rest of the group. So you should continue. And in that way, the fact that it showed that he traveled with Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells us enough and abundant. And at the time when the house and home of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was besieged by the rebels, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to his two sons, Hassan and Hussein, take your swords and go stand at the door. And allow no one to reach Amirul Mu'mini. So where is the discord? There can never be any form of discord when we have these incidences that are in the kitabs and they are all authentic. There can be absolutely no discord between the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt. So, having understood the great status of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the mutual love that Sahaba had for them, brothers and friends, we just go on one step further, that with regards to the day of Ashura, we know and we have heard on many occasions that it is related to the incidents that had taken place before the advent of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In certain riwayats, it is found that the ark of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had landed on Mount Judi, as Allah Ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran, or Judith, that has been now spoken about in biblical language. And that happened on the 10th of Muharram. And then we find two incidences, actually, in the life of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. One incident was when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had overcome the sahirin, the magicians. And when they made sajda to Allah Ta'ala, and they accepted the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that one sajda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them a glimpse of Jannat. In one sajda. And that was sufficient for them not to turn. And no matter how much Firaun had threatened them, they were not prepared to leave the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That also occurred on the 10th of Muharram. And then of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Musa alayhi salatu wa salam emancipation from Fir'aun and the tyranny of Fir'aun on the 10th of Muharram, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him to take the Bani Israel and cross over the waters. And of course, Fir'aun was then drowned in the waters. So that happened on the 10th of Muharram. And then when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as a matter of fact, in the history of Makkah, the 10th of Muharram for some reason was significant. The khilaf of the Baytullah, like now it is changed on the day of Hajj. This year was changed on the night preceding the Hajj. But normally when the Hujjaj are gone out for Hajj, then the khilaf of the Baytullah is changed. It used to be changed on the 10th of Muharram. And for some reason, the Quraysh of Makkah also fasted on the 10th of Muharram. Nonetheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinah Tayyiba, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had continued to fast on the 10th of Muharram. According to certain research scholars, this was the fard fast before the fast of the month of Ramadan. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to know that the Yahud, and in certain narrations, even the Christians had fasted on the 10th of Muharram. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out the reason when they said it is the fast in Shukr that Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam had kept as a gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for emancipating him and the Bani Israel. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I live on next year, I will fast 2 days. The 9th and the 10th in our context, today and tomorrow, or alternatively the 10th and the 11th, that is tomorrow and Monday. So that is one very great ibadat that you and I ought to carry out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever fasts on the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his past year's sins, the minor sins of the past year. If you fast on the day of Arafat, the past and the future. If you fast on the day of Ashura, the past. So that also should motivate us to follow this great sunnah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And then we find in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that whoever expands for his subordinates, his family, in other words, he spends more than he would normally spend, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expand the sustenance of such an individual for the rest of the year. In other words, Allah ta'ala will give barakah. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, many sahaba have also narrated this. And many sahaba said that we had found this to be as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown us it was a reality. But Sufyan ibn Uyayna has written, for 50 years, I have practiced upon this and I found it to be true. Now brothers, in these times when we find so much of difficulties insofar as sustenance and income is concerned, and at all times, a person doesn't have to be extravagant. We don't have to go through debt to do it. Whatever we're spending on our subordinates, spend a little bit more. And the word is ayalihi, subordinates. It is not about giving gifts to one and all and all and sundry, but it's about spending on our families a little bit more on the 10th of Muharram. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will give us the barakah. The last discussion for tonight is that we have all realized that we are in a new Islamic year. And more often than not, everybody is saying the same thing. Time is moving. Just the other day was Friday. Just the other day was the beginning of lockdown. Just the other day was the beginning of the year. Just the other day was Muharram. And time is moving. And this actually should be a reality in our lives, that we are all moving. It's not about time moving. We are all moving. And we are all moving towards our qabr. If we realize that as human beings, we're taking about 17,000 odd breaths every day. And it's only when a person suffers with COVID-19, then he realizes the value of that breath when we cannot breathe. And when it becomes difficult for us to breathe. Now at this point, just one advice from the great Sahabi, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. He was the most knowledgeable in the matters of halal and haram. So Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the time of Amwas, at the time of the epidemic, where thousands of Sahaba had become victim to that epidemic, they passed on and they gave their lives. Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu stands at the qabr, at the funeral of another great Sahabi, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who also died because of the epidemic. And over there, he gives three advices to all those that were present. And brothers, as time moves on, these three advices need to be engraved in my heart and your heart. Very quickly he said, Ya you, O people, Ya you are nas, tubu ilallah. The first is make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Seek tawbah from Allah Ta'ala. And friends, when a person is making hajj, we'll call him a haji. During the course of the hajj, if he dies, he dies a haji. A person is performing salat and he passes on, we'll see he passed away in salat. A person is fasting and he passes away, we'll say he passed away as a fasting person. Let us make one azam, a determined intention in our hearts, that I will continuously make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. So when I die, I'll die a ta'ib. Because Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala who said that whoever reaches Allah Ta'ala in the state of making tawbah, Allah will forgive that person. The second, whoever has any debts, whoever owes anyone for whatever reason, and probably now is the time when we all sit back and think about the lockdown that we have gone through, it would have either positively or negatively affected us. Some of us have debts that we unfortunately had to succumb to. It was circumstantial. We're probably owing other individuals. And I'm not justifying it, but we're probably owing banks. We're owing family members, landlords, whoever. We cannot as Muslims decide that that person is not in need of that money that we need to pay back, so I am not going to pay him. Or I'll take my time and pay him. It is a debt. And we have to pay that debt. Sayyidina Muadh radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, فَإِنَّ نَفْسَكَ مُرْتَهَنٌ, that your nafs now is held as a mortgage by Allah in lieu of that debt. We're not going to go forward. And he was probably interpreting the hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when one person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would Allah ta'ala forgive me if I went out in the path of Allah and I passed on a shaheed? In such a state, sabiran muqbilan ghayra mudbirin. In such a state that I persevered, I endured, I faced the enemy, I didn't flee. And in that state, I became a shaheed. Would Allah Ta'ala forgive me? Actually, the most best death is that of shahadat. And yet the cherry on the top, sabira. I did it whilst I persevered, I endured. I was facing the enemy, not retreating. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, Allah will forgive. The person turns and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calls him back and he says, illa ad-dayn. But debt that you're owing someone. And Jibreel alayhi salam came to inform me this. So, no matter what the status quo of the death may be, if the debt is not paid, then, like Sayyidina Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that now Allah ta'ala holds us as mortgage. We won't go forth. We won't go forth. We find in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever has to take a debt, has to take a loan, has to be in debt, then yuridul ada. The person intends to pay right from the onset. There has to be the intention of wanting to pay. And not wanting to pay when I'm on my deathbed. I want to pay it. I'm eager to pay it. Then Allah Ta'ala will pay it on his behalf. There were so many of those janazas that would come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would find out, does the person owe anyone money? If yes, has he left something in his inheritance, in his estate, so that we can pay out from? If no, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say to the Sahaba, you perform the janazah salat. But he was rahmatul lil alameen. An-Nabi awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. He was closer to the believers than they themselves. When Allah Ta'ala gave futuhat and the booty would come in from other places, then he will say to the people that if this person left inheritors, if he left an estate, it is for the inheritors. If he has left debt, then I will pay it. Then the third, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave advice that whoever has left speaking to his brother, whoever is on bad terms with his brother, brother here means anyone, any Muslim, then let him go to him and reconcile. Now can we try to understand, here is the funeral, the janazah of Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, there is an epidemic around, and all of that is taking place. But the concern of Mu'adh ibn Jabal is that we cannot return to Allah Ta'ala without making tawbah, without paying our debts, in a state where we have broken up a relationship with someone. Because it comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that person who has broken up a relationship with someone for more than 3 days. Look at the beauty of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A person, sometimes it can be anger, but that anger should last for 3 days, not more. Be concerned about your brother. Leave out the anger. There can be frustration, but there should never be separation. 3 days is sufficient, go back. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the better of the two is the one that first goes and makes salam. The person that embarks and says assalamu alaikum, it is like sometimes putting a rock on our heart. But do it and your jannat is made. Because in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, more than 3 days, that person will not enter Jannah. So Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu had given this advice, and this is the time that we should be introspecting and looking into ourselves. Have we prepared for whatever comes ahead of us? And undoubtedly it is a journey. And these are the three important ways, amongst others, that we need to prepare to go ahead with this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove whatever difficulties whoever amongst us may have in our families, in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Undoubtedly people are going through trying times, difficult times. And friends, there is only one friend, and that is Allah. Hold that one hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will navigate us out of all these issues. If, Allah forbid, we lose everything and we have Allah, we've still got Allah. We've got dunya and we've got akhirat. So whoever is ill amongst us, may Allah Ta'ala give them all shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra. Wherever the ummat is suffering, may Allah Ta'ala relieve this ummat of the sufferings. And because we are living in these times, let us make dua to Allah Ta'ala collectively and ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to relieve the whole ummat of the difficulties. Allahumma lakal hamdu kama anta ahlu, fasalli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama anta ahlu, waf'al mina kama anta ahlu, fa innaka ahlu taqwa wa ahlu al-maghfira. يا واسع الفضل والكرم يا ذا المغفرة والرحمة يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا هنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والأرض ويا ذا الجلال ijadi wal ikram. O most merciful and kind Allah. Ya Allah, you are most compassionate, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are most kind, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive, and Ya Allah, you love to forgive, Ya Allah. All power and all might belongs only to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are that being, Ya Allah, who is fa'alul lima yurid, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, we cannot blink an eye, Ya Allah, without your qudrat and power. Ya Allah, we cannot move a finger, Ya Allah, without your power and might, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, we are sinners, Ya Allah. We have broken your commandments, Ya Allah. Forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents. Ya Allah, forgive our spouses. Ya Allah, forgive our children, our siblings. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of our family members, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, amongst us, Ya Allah, whoever has whatever difficulties, Ya Allah, whatever challenges, Ya Allah, be it financial, be it domestic, be it otherwise, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you relieve us of all the difficulties, Ya Allah, in our families, Ya Allah, in ummat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, relieve each and every person of the difficulties. Ya Allah, amongst us, whoever is ill and sick, Ya Allah. In ummat, whoever is ill and sick, Ya Allah. In our families, Ya Allah, whoever is ill and sick, grant each and every person, Ya Allah, shifai kamila ajila mustamirra. Ya Allah, wherever the ummat is suffering, Ya Allah, remove the sufferings from the ummat of our Nabi Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, those marhumin, Ya Allah, in our families and in the ummat, Ya Allah, that have left, Ya Allah, and they have come to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make the ikram, Ya Allah. Give them the highest of jannatul firdaus, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive them, Ya Allah. Those that they left behind, Ya Allah, grant the family members sabr, Ya Allah. O most merciful Allah, O most merciful Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah. Make us yours. Allah, grant us a life, Ya Allah, in which we are obedient to you, Ya Allah. Before maut comes knocking at our doors, Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq of making tawbah. Ya Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, grant us maut with iman. Iman in our hearts, kalima on our tongues. Ya Allah, grant us maut, Ya Allah, in the most favorable of conditions, Ya Allah. Save us from an evil death in an evil place. Ya Allah, tomorrow we're going to stand in front of you on the day of Qiyamah. Most merciful Allah, grant us, O Allah, Jannatul Firdaus without reckoning. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka.